you're working through a tricky problem, do you actually hear yourself talking? Like, are your thoughts literally made of words?
It's an ancient question. Aristotle thought words just signify mental acts, but philosophers like Jerry Fodor argued for a structured language of thought. We're digging into a recent paper from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that actually tests this. And the wild part is what they found when they looked at the brain itself. The paper is called Evidence from Formal Logical Reasoning Reveals That the Language of Thought is Not Natural Language. And the researchers put these centuries-old ideas right under the microscope of modern neuroscience. Picture a computer screen glowing in a dark room. You type in a complex riddle, and within seconds, ChatGPT spits out a perfectly reasoned, highly logical answer. It makes you wonder, has the machine actually learned to think? Or is it just really good at putting words together? And that is the exact tension, right? We've been having this philosophical debate since Aristotle in 350 BC. But suddenly, these large language models are forcing the question. If a neural network can pass reasoning benchmarks like LogiQA or math, does linguistic competence inevitably lead to logical ability? That is precisely what's so fascinating. It feels like language is the logic. But as many AI researchers point out, even when these models score well on benchmarks like Big Bench, Wild Bench, or the ARC Prize, their reasoning lacks robustness. They stumble on tiny, unexpected variations. It's a bit like an actor who's memorized the lines of a play but doesn't actually understand the plot. If you change one cue, they're lost. And that gets to the absolute core of this PNAS paper. To understand if language and logic are truly welded together, we have to look at the original blueprint, the human brain.
But we've historically assumed they're welded together. I mean, we say things like, let me put my thoughts into words, as if the thought didn't exist before the phrase. So if these AI models are just massive statistical prediction engines that occasionally mimic logic, does our own biological hardware actually keep them separate? Or do we rely on our inner monologue to solve a puzzle?
Exactly. That's the million-dollar question. If language is the medium of thought, then our brain's language network should light up like a Christmas tree whenever we do formal logic. But if they're separate, well, then we might have a dedicated language of thought that doesn't use words at all. And as we'll see from the fMRI and aphasia evidence in this study, the brain's answer to this is incredibly clear-cut.
Okay, here's the thing. To really test if we think in language, researchers did something incredibly direct. They took 29 healthy, native English-speaking adults, put them in an fMRI scanner, and had them solve intense logical puzzles. They wanted to see if the brain's core language network, which we know is highly sensitive to grammar, lights up when we do pure logic.
So the goal was to capture the mind's machinery in real time. And they didn't just give them one type of puzzle. They tested two classic forms of logic. For the inductive task, participants had to figure out mathematical rules from number sequences, like guessing the transformation from 5-7 to 7-5-7. For the deductive task, they had to judge classic three-sentence syllogisms, like if A is B, then A is C.
And what's really clever is how they elegantly isolated the logical reasoning from simply reading the prompt. They contrasted the hard logical steps, like discovering a rule or solving a tricky Modus-Tollens deduction, with easy conditions, like just applying a rule they were already given. They literally subtracted the basic task demands to leave only the pure logic.
It's basically a busy office building where the lights only turn on in the rooms where people are actually working. You would expect the language department to be glowing bright. But when they analyzed the fMRI scans, the language network was entirely dark. Those brain areas showed almost no sensitivity to the logical difficulty of the tasks.
Wait, so even when they were working through those verbal syllogisms, the actual deduction didn't engage the language network? The data is extremely clear. The language areas showed zero significant response to the logical complexity. even though the puzzles were hard, the brain's language centers stayed completely quiet, proving they aren't the ones doing the heavy logical lifting. Wait, so if the fMRI scans show the language network stays quiet, that's still just imaging. What happens when the biological machinery of language is actually physically damaged? Do those logical abilities just vanish?
That is the ultimate test of the theory. It's basically a real-world stress test. The researchers worked with two patients, SA, who is 78, and GS, who is 50. Both have profound, severe aphasia from massive lesions in the left perisylvian cortex. Their grammar is severely impaired in both comprehension and production. If you give them a simple, reversible sentence, like, "The diver splashed the dolphin," they perform at chance. They cannot track who did what.
So the literal structural scaffolding of language is completely offline. But I'm looking at the data here, and the numbers are staggering. On the matrix reasoning test, SA solved 25 out of 30, and GS got 26 out of 30. To put that in perspective, based on age-matched norms, SA's score puts him 2.3 standard deviations above the average, a T-score of 73. GS was 1.8 standard deviations above. They were phenomenal. That's incredible. They actually outperformed the average control participants. And it's the same story for the inductive task, the one where they had to discover those mathematical, list, and structural transformation rules. SA solved 19 out of 25 rules, and GS cracked 39 out of 40.
Exactly. When you compare them to the control group using single-case statistical tests, their performance is completely indistinguishable. They could even schematically draw the rules they found, like reversing the list. It is a stunning, lived demonstration that when natural language is stripped away, the logical mind remains fully intact. Okay, so if our language network is sitting on its hands while we're doing all this logical heavy lifting, it begs the question, if not language, then what? What's actually running the show inside our heads?
Enter the multiple demand network, or the MD network. It's a bilateral group of frontal and parietal brain areas. It essentially acts like a high-performance CPU that gets allocated to whatever complex, goal-directed task you throw at it, whether that's solving math equations, writing computer code, or keeping track of spatial locations. And sure enough, when participants were actively guessing the rules in the induction task or cracking those tough matrix patterns, the MD network was incredibly active.
So it's basically a mental multi-tool. It's the system we call on when the path forward isn't obvious. But does that mean every kind of formal logic just gets dumped into this MD network? You would think so, but this is where the story gets really elegant. The deductive syllogisms, judging whether a conclusion strictly follows from premises, did not recruit the MD network at all. It completely bypassed it. Instead, deduction activated a totally distinct set of frontal and parietal regions. We are looking at a deep anatomical modularity right inside the reasoning system itself.
Wait, really? So the brain doesn't even treat logic as one single category? It has entirely different departments for making generalizations versus drawing strict deductions?
Exactly. It is an incredibly clean division of labor. Inductive reasoning, where you're gathering evidence and generating hypotheses, leans on this general-purpose MD network. But deductive reasoning, the strict, rule-based elimination of logical impossibilities, uses this highly specialized, distinct circuit. It shows us that our language of thought isn't just separate from natural language. It's also highly organized and compartmentalized within itself.
But hang on. Why did our brains keep these two systems so completely separate? If they both deal with structured information, why not share the cognitive load? Think of a misty, ever-shifting forest versus a perfectly plotted grid of laser beams. Natural language is that forest. It's designed for social communication, which means it has to be incredibly flexible. But that very flexibility makes it structurally messy. It's full of what linguists call referential vagueness, scope ambiguities, and constant underspecification. It actually relies on us being a bit fuzzy.
Right, because if I say everyone didn't show up, that could mean literally no one showed up, or just that some people are missing. It's totally ambiguous.
Precisely. To make sense of everyday speech, your brain has to perform what's called pragmatic enrichment, constantly using social context to decode the speaker's true intent. But formal logic, or algebra, or computer code, it absolutely cannot have that kind of noise. It requires strict, abstract, relational meanings. In a logic gate, a term has to represent a precise, amodal relation, completely independent of context.
So trying to run pure logic through natural language is like trying to do delicate neurosurgery while wearing massive oven mitts. The tool is just too blunt.
Exactly. The format is wrong. You need amodal, abstract symbols that don't change their meaning depending on how you feel or who you're talking to. And that's why the brain has a dedicated space for this. It keeps the messy social communicator far away from the cold, hard logic engine.
It really does. And honestly, we see this exact same boundary playing out in AI today. Deep learning models often struggle with logical reasoning when they try to think purely in words. But if you have the AI translate that messy natural language into formal logic representations first, and then pass that to a strict symbolic solver, the success rate skyrockets. The human brain evolved to do the exact same thing, routing precise relations away from the chatter of language.
Okay, so the big takeaway here is that language is our ultimate communication tool, a way to compress massive ideas. But it is not the actual format of how we think. It's essentially a shipping container, not the thought itself. And it leaves us with this big open question. Does a child actually need language to develop these logical pathways? Or are we born with a silent logic already running? A question for the next study. Thanks for listening, everyone.